This week's Torah portion, Toledot, comes from Genesis 25, 19, and spans through Genesis 28, 9. And it's the familiar story that we all know regarding Esau and Jacob, two brothers representing two nations and two manner of people. And as we begin this parsha, just prior to this parsha, it starts with the descendants of Ishmael. And then at the beginning of this parsha, we start talking about the descendants of Jacob. But note, how many times in Scripture do we see issues between brothers? How many times in Scripture do we see this same pattern where the younger brother seems to somehow surpass or supplant the older brother, and thus the lineage continues through the younger brother? You know, in essence, the older brother serving the younger. So we see those patterns, and they're very familiar. There seems to be ongoing, again, specifically a pattern between the younger rising above the older in stature and in primogeniture. Namely, there's other patterns that we see in this parsha. Specifically, we see what? We see patterns in barren spouse, promise made from God on condition of obedience, a lie regarding the spouse to save one's own life, entering a foreign land, the realization of the lie in that foreign land, leaving greater than he entered, miraculous birth. So the reason I'm covering this is just so that you go back. This is all in this Torah portion. It's really to wet your whistle, so to speak, to go back and read it for yourself. There's quite a few things in there, and really links throughout Scripture with all these patterns that come forward. But going back specifically to the brothers, it starts, we know that something is different in Genesis 25:22, because this is where she's pregnant and she realizes there's something different about this pregnancy. There's something weird going on. And Genesis 25:22 says, "And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it's so, why am I this? Why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." And continuing in verse 23, it says, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" So before this, she didn't realize, number one, she didn't realize she had twins that were in her womb. And this is a promise that there's two nations that are going to come forward from you. And also an indication that one's going to serve the older and one is going to be stronger. So the word ratsats, that's that word struggle, which also can mean to crush or oppress. And so that's interesting as we go forward. So, but let's move forward. I want to look at Genesis 25:25. "The first one came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that," this is verse 26, "came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents." So that was 27. Now, what are the characteristics of each one of these men? Well, it says that Esau was red all over like a hairy garment. By the way, the meaning of Esau means hairy. It says he was a cunning hunter. It also says he was a man of the field. In other words, he was a worldly man. And so, those are the characteristics of Esau. By contrast, let's look at the characteristics of Jacob. Jacob took his brother's heel. which is the meaning of Jacob. It means heel holder or supplanter. His characteristics was he was a plain man dwelling in tents. Dwelling is the word yashav, which can mean to dwell. It can mean to remain in, to sit, or to abide. And tents is the word ohel, which can mean tents, such as nomad's tents. It can mean a dwelling or home. It can also mean the sacred tent, such as the tabernacle. And so you get the idea of the two differences. There's two differences here. Jacob is one that sort of studies. He remains on the rules of this of his home. Esau is a man of the earth. He doesn't abide by the rules of his home. I guess where I'm going with this is, it's like all of us at one time or another in our house come to a point where our parents tell us, if you want to remain in my house, you have to abide by my rules. And if you don't like my rules, then you can get out of my house. Well, we get the idea here in this Torah portion. The differences between the two is Jacob was one who was willing to remain in his house. He was one who was willing to abide by the rules, whereas Esau was not such a manner of man. Esau wanted to be out in the field. He was a man of the field. In today's layman's terms, he's from the streets. Okay? Think about that. He was one who didn't want to listen to his parents or abide by his parents' rules. And so we'll get into more on that. He wasn't willing to accept the rules. One who lives by the streets isn't willing to accept the rules at home, but instead is concerned more about making their own rules, living out in the streets where they can be whoever they want to be. So there's a stark difference there. And as we go forward, keep this in mind. Another thing that I saw in this Torah portion is regarding the birthright and the blessings. And there's a difference there too. And it's interesting because while they're interlinked, there is a difference. The scripture shows us that Esau sold his birthright for pottage. Okay, this is found in Genesis 25. And if you read verses 29 through 34, this is where you can find this reference. But basically, the story goes that Esau was out in the field. He came back, and he smells the food that Jacob's making, and says, "Will you give me some of that?" And Jacob basically says, "If you promise that this day you'll sell me your birthright, then I'll give you that." Esau says, "What good is my birthright? I'm here about to die. So, what do I care about my birthright?" It then finishes that section or those verses. With he despised his birthright. And so it prompts us to take a look. What's the difference between the birthright and the blessings? Well, birthright refers to the right of the firstborn with regards as principal heir and successor to the father. This was a role. It carried with it responsibilities over the household. So as the father basically would pass away, it was his successor who took on that role of being the primary guider, if you will, of the family. It was the primary, the one who in essence was their teacher, who in essence was going to carry on that family legacy. Okay, and so if you think back about what this really means in relation to Jacob, it would have been the one who would have carried on basically the blessings that were given to Abraham and that patriarchal lineage. So this firstborn was that one that would carry that role, that would carry forward, and the blessings would follow from Abraham and then to Isaac and then to this, the firstborn. So it says that Esau despised his birthright. He wanted nothing to do with that spiritual right. Now, the birthright also carried with it the fact that there was blessings associated with it and that the firstborn would get a double portion of the blessings. Okay? And what we'll see is that's what Esau was really interested in. That's what his focus was. So he didn't want anything to do, again, with the fact that the godly line, with the fact of carrying forward the rules. Remember that he would have had to carry the rules and the promise that he was shown by his father. He would have been that successor to carry that forward. He didn't want anything to do with that. In fact, he despised it. But what did Jacob want? He wanted his father's blessing. And the difference is the blessing is actually we'll look at the words. The actual word for birthright is the word bekorah, which translated as birthright, primogeniture, right of the firstborn. The word for blessing is berakah, which refers to blessing or prosperity, a gift, a present, a treaty of peace. Okay, so while the words are very similar, there is a difference in what they stand for. Again, the birthright of the firstborn being, you know, more spiritual leadership. You know, he was in charge of protecting the family. Okay, he would have, when the father passed away, the firstborn would have succeeded. The father would have then taken care of his mother's needs for the rest of her life. But then also, if there was any siblings with regard to his sisters, he would have cared for them as well. Okay? Whereas the blessings is translated as a gift, you know, prosperity, presence. And so it was that Esau was interested in. And what we see this is, although the two are linked again, the firstborn would have been entitled to a double blessing. Now, the other thing that comes with the birthright is it links even back to Abel. Okay, so it links further back in Genesis to Abel, where he was offering, you know, and again, it comes to the firstborn being offered to Yahweh to continue in Yahweh's path, you know, to be given up as an offering. So we see that Esau was concerned more with the rewards, but not with the responsibilities of the firstborn, specifically relating to the spiritual responsibilities. Where do we see that? Well, we see that at the end. You know, at the end is when Esau basically finds out that Jacob, his brother, has deceived his father into giving him the blessings of the firstborn. And it is then that we see the emotion in Esau over caring for something. And it was, again, related to physical, tangible things, gifts, rewards. That's what he wanted. He wanted the rewards, but didn't want, you know, the responsibilities that came with the birthright. So, what can we learn? What things can we glean from these examples of what happened in this Torah portion? Number one, the birthright is a lineage carried from the patriarchal line. It goes from Abraham, passes to Isaac, as opposed to Ishmael. It passes to Jacob, as opposed to Esau. And so there's that pattern of, you know, it was the younger one who would surpass the elder. When we see the characteristics of Ishmael and Esau, we find that they're not very different. We find that they're wild men, good hunters, they live by the sword. We see the character of Isaac and Jacob as being more humble, being willing to follow the rules, to stay in your father's house. You know, we know that Esau was rebellious. What did he do? As soon as he found out that his father tells Jacob not to marry, you know, from the women of the local area, he goes ahead and does that. He does that in spite of his father as a way to get even. When we note that the younger was from the spiritual line, okay? He was willing to stay in his father's house, abide by the rules, while the elder was an example where it was from an earthly line. He was out in the field. He lived in the field. He was part of the world. Jacob's name, interestingly, was later changed to Israel. Yisrael. And so he went from supplanter to God prevails, the meaning of Israel. This was after he wrestled with God, of course. So, what do we know? What do we see? We find that Esau was not equipped to carry on the patriarchal lineage. How do we know that? Well, his choice was made out of desperation for his fleshly needs. When he came to a time where he was starving, instead of caring more about his birthright, he despised his birthright, sold it outright for what? For what he needed right then at the moment. Okay, so this is not the characteristic of someone in whom, you know, Yahweh was going to fulfill the promises. And we also note that this is something this is the same struggle, okay, that she had in her womb is the same struggle that we all have within us. We have both lines, Esau and Jacob. The worldly line, the one that cares about the things of the earth, the physical, and the spiritual line, the one that cares about obeying the Father's rule, being in the Father's house, studying. And so it's interesting that in order for God to prevail, we must be willing to be supplanters of our earthly portion, of our earthly part. We must suppress Esau so that we can become Jacob, and so that ultimately we can become Israel. God prevails. So ends the Torah portion.